So Friday morning, good morning to you. Peter Tatchell, often in the news for his protests in relation to a number of social issues and human rights issues, but very much flying the flag for LGBT rights. And indeed, he's been doing this in Russia, and he ended up getting arrested. Now, an individual protest in Russia is not outside of the law. Peter Tatchell looked into this and knew that he wasn't actually breaking the law, but he was taking a risk by being there on the ground in Moscow, criticising Putin with a banner that highlighted the disgusting attitude to LGBT people in Chechnya. And this was his arrest, actually.
It's forbidden to bring here an action, to call here an action.
Okay, but we honour Marko Zsuzsov, the liberator of Europe.
Yes, the liberator of Europe, but it's during the war, World Cup, it's forbidden to hold any action like this.
Okay.
Against Putin, against
We are for the Russian people.
Yes.
We are for the Russian people.
Yes,
I want to meet President Putin,
yes,
to discuss the persecution of LGBT people. This is not part of Russian tradition.
Yes.
Many great Russians, many great Russians have been gay, like Tchaikovsky, Eisenstein, gay men.
Yes. All action like this is forbidden during the World Cup.
Okay.
So that's
but
why
a one-person protest is permissible.
Yes.
Just one person.
You cannot continue your action because it's.
You're
violating the law.
Okay, but even if I explain.
No, you have explained already everything.
Okay.
So I also explain your rights, your freedoms.
Okay.
You are right now. You're breaking Russian law.
Okay.
So breaking Russian law, as far as the police officer was concerned, then he was taken into custody and later released. Let me speak to Peter Tatchell, who's on the line. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Peter, one of the things that came across there was the polite attitude of the Russian police officer.
Well, that particular officer was very polite and courteous. He was very friendly and helpful. Some of his senior officers later were pretty stern and harsh. But they weren't abusive or really rude. They were just very brusque. As I made it very clear to them, the Russian constitution guarantees freedom of expression and the right to protest. So my arrest was a violation of the Russian constitution. President Putin does not have the right to violate the constitution. So that was my defense, but they rejected that. And that is why I was taken to the police station. I'm now due to appear in court in Moscow on the 26th of June to face charges that I conducted an illegal protest.
So that will be an argument between you and the Russian authorities as to whether or not you broke the law. You firmly believe that you didn't break the law. But why do you feel you need to take the particular risk that you took at such a high-profile time?
Well, Russia is a quasi-police state. There are no real freedoms in this country. The constitution is great, but the reality is completely different. So if I had been a Russian LGBT campaigner and did what I did yesterday, I wouldn't be a free man today. I'd be facing a massive fine and probably 15 days in prison. And other human rights defenders in Russia, defending democracy, defending free speech, defending the rights of trade unions, they suffer far, far worse fate than I do, than I did. So I got off very, very lightly by comparison to them. And to me, it was very important to take a stand for all human rights in Russia, but particularly for LGBT people in Chechnya, where for the last year there's been an horrendous anti-gay witch hunt, which has involved the detention of known or suspected gay men in virtual concentration camps, where they're abused, tortured, beaten, and sometimes even killed. This is happening in Chechnya, which is part of Russia. President Putin has the ultimate power. He could stop this witch hunt. At the moment, he won't even acknowledge that it's taking place. And that is truly shocking. And I did not want the World Cup to go ahead and for President Putin to score a PR coup without him being challenged, without his failure to act to protect the rights of LGBT people in Russia.
The LGBT issue is one of those, I suppose, discussion points worldwide. I'm just going to ask you, if you can, Peter, to move away from the very noisy background. If you can manage to do that, that would be great, because you're being drowned out to some extent by the busyness of Russia in the background. But LGBT issues are even being discussed here at home, as you know, and back in the news again today with one of our former senior politicians stepping down from the Presbyterian Church because the Presbyterian Church is not prepared to have young people who are in same-sex relationships as members of the church, not prepared to christen the children of those who are in a same-sex relationship. We've had other high-profile people stand down from the Presbyterian Church here in Northern Ireland. Now, I'm not comparing the attitude to LGBT in Northern Ireland to what exists in other parts of the world, including Russia. But people who would argue that LGBT people are breaking Christian law, this is the eroding of the rights of those who don't believe, that Christian law should be dealt with in that way, or to put it another way, they believe that the Christians are not getting a fair say in this.
Well, Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK is supposed to be a democracy, not a theocracy. We do not enshrine religious law into the law of the land. We separate religion and the civil law and the criminal law. And that is the way it should be, because in countries that have theocracies, where religious law is the law of the land, invariably religious minorities and many others get persecuted. So to me, as someone who knows a bit about Christian theology, I'm not aware that discrimination is a Christian value. In fact, I thought Christianity, the gospel, was all about love and compassion. And indeed, the recorded teachings of Jesus Christ never once condemned homosexuality. And indeed, Jesus himself embraced many people who Christians would call sinners. He said, "Let he who has not sinned cast the first stone." So I don't think the law should enshrine any religious dictat. We live in a free, open, democratic society where, of course, people of faith have rights and freedoms, but that should not include the right to discriminate and not the right to dictate that their particular interpretation of faith is the law of the land.
Peter, thank you very much. I would speak longer to you if we had a better line, but we're not blessed with that this morning. But thank you very much for coming on the programme. And I was making reference there to the former leader of the Alliance Party, Lord John Alderdice, who's resigned from the Presbyterian Church following a decision not to allow those in same-sex relationships to be full members of the church. He sent a letter of resignation to the Presbyterian Church centrally and indeed to his local church as well. The former Stormont speaker outlined three main reasons for his decision. He said he was unhappy with the decision to leave the World Council of Churches and the decision to loosen ties with the Church of Scotland. He also cited the ruling from the Church's General Assembly that people in same-sex relations could not be full members. And Lord Alderdice is not just someone who pops along to the church occasionally. He's an elder of the church. So is there more and more of a suggestion now that people who believe that it's in the Bible, and we've touched on this earlier in the week with Sunita as well, people who believe it is in the Bible, that their voice is going to be silenced eventually? Or indeed, is Lord Alderdice absolutely right with his stance and with the steps that he's taken? A bit like Tony McCauley, his wife, who we featured earlier, Leslie McCauley, in the week as well, who high-profile writers and broadcasters who stepped down from the Presbyterian Church because they felt their daughter was being discriminated against because she is in a same-sex relationship. Is Peter Tatchell right in the way he describes it with regards to Christian attitudes and the lack of Christian attitude that seems to be coming from some church quarters? You are very welcome to express your opinion, as always, here on the Frank Mitchell phone-in.